Melissa Caprillion is here. Melissa Caprillion is the fifth alder in the alder in the fifth district. I got to get these straight. And also, you're a board supervisor, right, county board supervisor in the second, third, fourth, fifth,
fourth
district. There are too many numbers for me.
Okay.
It's springtime. Welcome to the first day of spring.
Well,
it kicked in at 4:01 this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think anybody feels like it. I went from spring coat to winter coat, spring coat to winter coat, back to winter coat. This is why people getting sick.
It's variety. It keeps everything interesting.
So you're running again for the 5th Aldermanic District.
I am.
And this is, how many terms have you been alderman, alderperson?
Well, it's hard because they're not consecutive. So this will be going into my third term back on the council. So I started back up in 2021.
How many years are there per term?
2 years.
Two years. Oh, it's constantly running for office.
It is. And because I sit on the county and it's alternate years. So every year I'm running for office.
So how does it work? The odd number?
For the city.
Yeah, for the city.
So the odd numbers are up during the odd year election. So it's 2025. So those are the odd number seats. For the county board, they're all up at once.
It's like Congress now. This next 2 years or year and a half, the U.S. Congress is all up. Every 2 years, these people are constantly running for office.
Yeah.
There's no end to it. I couldn't do that.
Well, what's sad for us is just we get tons of election material, right? Lots of those mailers, lots of the phone calls, a lot of the...
Oh, I get them knocking on my door.
The ads, yeah.
I had a young lady the other day with a guy come knocking at my door. And didn't knock, she hit the doorbell. And she hits me with this smile. Hi, how are you? I said, boy, I said, you got to tone down that happiness just a couple of notches. Go from an 11 down to like a 4 and we'll be good. She's, no, I'm just very excited about the race. And she handed me a bunch of stuff. I said, well, I think I got this in the mail. I know, but I think you'd like to read it again. Now, the guy wasn't like that, but she was just so happy to be alive and going door to door. And it was nasty outside. It wasn't even a nice day. I said, would you like a bottle of water? Oh, no, I have to go to the next house. And so,
that energy is great, though, because I'm gonna tell you, Don, knocking on the doors, I think what she's doing is trying to set the tone that's going to be on the other end, or at least balance it, because sometimes you know, it's private space. People don't answer the door like they used to. I remember as a little girl, if somebody knocked at her door, we would run with excitement. You know, who's at the door, who's at the door, peek. And you know, same with the telephone, the whole family would run to the telephone, who's calling us.
I have to ask you, and I ask everybody running for office, why do you want to do this? I mean, I know you're very involved in the community. You do things for food banks and every type of charity. I go home, lock my door, bolt it, put the board of wood in front of it, a piece of furniture in front. But you tend to go out and do all this stuff. Why do you want to run for office? I don't think it's a win-win, though.
Oh,
I think
I hear the anguish in the question.
I get your tone.
Yeah, no. You know, Don, it has to do with my family we have many generations that are here in this community. And on my father's side, my great grandmother came here from refuge from the Armenian genocide, and then myself through the journey understanding that story, and she found a place of home here. My grandfather, my mother, and I myself had experienced some time in my childhood that I didn't have a home. So I found myself experiencing homelessness. And by the time then I became a mother, a young mother, I knew once I got my own house and my own place to call that I was going to have my children be in a place that they could call home, no matter outside of my four walls that we own, but the community itself is home. And so that philosophy, my daughter will be 32 this year. And so that's how I lived life. And the only way to get it to feel like home is to involve yourself. The more you know, the more safe and secure you feel. And it's really about connecting with the people. When I found myself experiencing homelessness, there's a lot of times where people would walk by you or drive by you, which is common. Right? I mean, people drive their car. It's not like they're stopping and talking to people that are walking on the streets and understand their story. But when you are walking and you're in that state, you have this sense of feeling isolated and not part of your community, like you're not being seen. And so how I chose to, and how I still choose to conduct myself, is to see people. And it means just really involving yourself in their issues, because oftentimes you can't talk to everybody, but you can get involved in many aspects of our community, from nonprofit work to civic work, and even in this neighborhood work, you know, that I do. And it helps you really to get a good sense of community and a good sense of what is troubling, or the things you need to work on to better the space that you live in. So it all stems from really my childhood, and then just my family roots. You know, these streets are like the veins that I have, you know, and that you have too. And it's about human connection. This is the only time that we have an opportunity to connect with the people that are around us. You know, we only have this one life to live. Unless you have a different religious belief, but we only have this one life to live. And, you know, why not do it in a way that expands your bubble and includes more than just yourself, to enrich yourself and everyone else's life?
And I'm glad there are people like you, because if I ran the world, we'd all be sitting in our house all day doing nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and that doesn't sound that exciting. All you get to do is to, you know, combat your own thoughts. So,
but yeah. I'm glad there are people that out and run for office and do these sort of things. Plus, I know you help out in the community in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about the veto, the ordinances behind what this was. We had this in the news the other day.
Yeah.
Where there was, I guess it wasn't a quorum, and the whole session with the mayor lasted about 30 seconds. And I talked to the mayor about it yesterday. You got an angle on this?
I do. Well, first of all, you know, we showed up at the council meeting on Tuesday, and I think just a lot of unfortunate events kind of occurred. We had some health issues of some others. These I found out afterward, but some emergency, and it just, for whatever reason, we couldn't make a quorum. And so, you know, by law, we can't continue on with business, but we had the council chambers were full, which is such a delight to see. You know, that's something that I find comfort in. It's hard when we are making these city decisions that truly affect all the community members and affects their service, and we don't have an audience. So I prefer that there's an audience. It helps the alders to be accountable for the decisions that they're making. Because, Don, what's often missing is the media there. We used to have the media at every single meeting. We'd have
Tom Carco.
And we would have the Journal Times sitting at every meeting. And we don't have that anymore. So it's hard to always have that sense of accountability. And this issue right now that we're about to talk about is one of those that people should be paying attention to. And it's the structure, and if you remember, during the boycott, when a handful of us alders stepped out of one meeting, we missed one meeting, but it was really to make a stance about transparency. And there's three branches of government, and it's not only here at the local level, but, you know, it's this the foundation of our government here in the United States. And there's a reason for that. And, you know, there has to be this balance of power. And our legislative branch has been losing its power over, you know, some time that I find that this mayor has been in office. And, you know, and I'm sure for him, it's this level of efficiency for him, because for him, you have a more sense of control. And, you know, yourself, when you can make your own decisions for your own household instead of somebody else come inflicting on it, you know, you have to. It's not a smooth process. So I get the wanting to be in control, but it doesn't work for government, especially representative government. And so I have people to answer to. I have constituents to answer to, along with the other alders. And we need to be in control of our process. We need to be able to bring up agenda items and have them go through, have them discussed and go through a process, because we owe it. We have to be accountable, back to that word accountable, to our constituents. And when that is held up because you have a different branch of government controlling it, because it might not be issues they want to bring up and might slow whatever progress they want to make. But, you know, this is not the way that government is set up to be. It's not, you know, it's not supposed to be a monarchy. And And I find now, so that set of ordinances that we changed back during the boycott allowed us to get the items that we want to talk about. Those are called communications, to put on an agenda. Agendas control how our what topics are brought up at the city council and the standing committees. Now what we're looking at is making like all the other, the Congress and, you know, the president doesn't control who's on committees. Same with our governor, same with the county executive. It's all worked within the legislative branch. They get to pick who is on which standing committee. So nonprofit boards as well. You have a nonprofit board. They elect who is the president of that board and who may be the vice president, the treasurer, the secretary. You don't have the executive director who gets to choose that. It's the governing body, the legislative body. So there's a few things being worked on in this ordinance, and it's to allow the legislative body to be able to elect not only the president, which we currently do, but a vice president. Because we found last during budget cycle, what came up was the mayor wasn't there, and then the president of the council wasn't there. And so we kind of all looked around the room, okay, well, now what? And, you know, lucky for us, we had David Mack with some experience running meetings. So it was voted on by the body for David Mack to run one of our budget meetings. And he was freshly put back on the council. So, but he did such a great job. So now it's allow us to have a vice president of the body, which there's that at all other levels of government. And then it's also to allow the body to the president to put the people on the standing committees. So it makes sense. You're in control of your own legislative body, and then another proposed an amendment that allowed then those standing committees to elect their chair and vice chair. And I think it was just the chair, maybe. But that's the same thing with any nonprofit board. Again, the legislative body gets to then, or the governing body gets to elect the people in that position. It just makes sense. It's where the balance of government should be. You should not be having one of the other branches, the executive branch, coming over and establishing who's on what, because what happens is you put the people you want so you can control the outcome and you can control what issues are getting brought up. And that's, we need a transparent government, especially when we're coming up for troubling times with our budget. We're going to be hitting some deficit. We're already having to make some really big decisions, and we need to be able to have that control. We need to be able to bring our constituents' voices to our council and bring them forward. And so as much as we can control our legislative branch, I think the better outcome. And right now the legislative branch is not inflicting, it's taking away power from the executive branch. The executive branch, the mayor, still has every single one of his powers intact. And he wouldn't like it if we took his veto power away from him. And so he has that. He's inflicted his right. He didn't agree with these changes because it does then lessen his ability, as he quote unquote says, to be more efficient. But it's to be more efficient on what he wants to bring forward and what he wants to stop bringing forward. And it doesn't allow him to set up who he wants on his executive committee. He does still get an ability to pick one member of the council body to be on the executive, because how it's set up right now, Don, is the standing committees, whoever chairs the standing committees, that makes up his executive committee. And then there's also an additional position. Then he will get to select that additional spot on his executive committee.
And just for the record, I don't make the decisions in my house.
Oh.
Okay. You mentioned, oh, you make the decisions in your house. No, I don't make the decisions in my house. Just, I want the record clear on that.
But you have faith in your wife because she has made such great decisions, and I know she's on top of your health.
Doesn't matter what I feel. The decisions have been made. I have to live with them, and that's just the way it is.
And look how great you are.
I'm a foot taller than her, and she's still... I have fear.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? Good for her, because of that, I'm sure you are a better person.
Let's two things I want to get in here. Let's do this first here, because I had your opponent do this with you. And Jens Jorgensen is the person running against you in the 5th Aldermanic District. Say one thing nice about him and give a criticism of something he could do better?
I love how you asked that question. And you know what our community needs? We need more people moving into it and not out of it. And Jens Jorgensen and his wife have chosen back in October of 23 to come into our community and make it their home. And we need more transplants. We need more people coming into our community and making Racine their home. I heard on the radio he's got a baby on the way. So this is going to be the birthplace of their child. And that's what we need. We need more people investing into this space. So, you know, we've got to appreciate and honor that decision. And, you know, I hope that, you know, Jens, he's young. I have two children who are older than him. And, you know, I love the ambition to want to get into government. And I think that should always be there. And we should instill in our youth this sense to want to serve. But do it on your own merit. You know, when I'm doing the doors and I've been hearing a lot of your opponent is saying this about you. And it's like, well, this young gentleman just moved into the community. He doesn't know this community. And he runs off of wanting to run on, you know, the attack on the library. He doesn't understand the library. He hasn't lived here. And how many times has he been in the library? There's a history behind everything. Honor that, or you disrespect the place that you're trying to call home. And at first, the message might be shocking and people might consume it. But after a while, the taste starts to get bitter in the mouth. So please, you know, honor this community and get to know it. Get to know the spaces, because we've all, the people who have invested in this place, it means more than just those shock conversations. You know, the buildings have a history. There's some nostalgia with the spaces, and a lot of family growth and a lot of family hardship has happened on these streets and these homes and these buildings. So when you come in and try to take over a story with some fabricated mission or on the back of somebody else's struggle, Jens doesn't know me. And so it's better to honor the person that you're running against and make this also be about who you are. So I would like him to celebrate him and not so much try to tear me down.
Last 30 seconds. Why should people vote Melissa Caprillion on April 1st?
You know, I bring a lot of historical and institutional knowledge that has come from wisdom that I've gained not only in government, working as an elected official, but, you know, the history that I have with not only nonprofit boards, but with the community and just my choice and my philosophy of living. You know, I've gained quite a bit where I can be a voice of, I can be a voice for our vision moving forward because I understand this history and I understand somebody new coming in. There is a time for that. There truly is a time. But right now we're facing some big, big decisions, some decisions that are going to be very difficult, and you have to understand them to its full complexities. And you need somebody with wisdom for that. I can't give my child who's 12 years old, I can't give him the responsibilities to make decisions in my house that may necessarily mean where we have to lessen our consumption of energy or water. And, you know, maybe there's a decision of bankruptcy or something like that. It's way too complex. And it's going to be the same now. You need to be able to bring the adults. You need to bring the ones that carry the wisdom and carry that connection of why situations are the way, and to find bigger solutions or to find possible solutions, you need to have that wisdom. So, you know, I'm hoping that the residents understand that I have a dedication and that I have a principled stance, and I don't let politics get in the way. This is truly a principled stance on the issues. That's why it's fundamentally important that we focus on the structuring of government and these three, balancing these branches of government, so we can go into these harder decisions with a very good, steady foundation.
Melissa Caprillion, your alder in the 5th District, wants to be reelected. I can't even speak. Maybe I should run for office. She wants to be reelected again. The voting takes place on April 1st, April Fool's Day. What were they, what were they thinking?
Oh, goodness, the irony of that sometimes when you think about it.
And vote. Just get out there and vote. And if you don't vote, don't complain. All right. So April 1st, you can vote wherever your polling place is. Don't forget where it is. Just look it up if you forgot. And it's Melissa Caprillion, and she'll be on the ballot. And good luck to you.
Thank you, Don.
All right.